presenting to you an Ista World Podcast.
Thank you, guest speaker. We will now go through the questions put forward by Ista's newsletter subscribers. So the topic again is measuring one's spiritual progress. The first few set of questions are related to progress. Can we truly know the whole truth of our progress, or is this kept from us?
Welcome, friends, to the Advanced Discourse. I will answer the questions put forward by the listeners and subscribers of ISTA. First question is whether we can
truly know the whole truth of our progress, or is this kept from us?
Well, initially, as the guest speaker mentioned in the satsang, sometimes it is prudent, it is necessary to withhold information regarding our progress, because we have certain karmic responsibilities to fulfill here. And because we are part and parcel of this creation, in that we are involved in a whole chain of events, that if we are removed prematurely from these chain of events, then the entire creation will fail. So therefore, every individual, everyone, is very important in creation to make sure that the plan, the blueprint, is fulfilled exactly as scripted. So in this case, where somebody has a notional life of so many years to live, it is important for them to conduct their worldly activities similarly as they had been doing before. Sorry. And in order to prevent them from stopping that activity, the grace is withheld. But it's not actually in a real sense withheld, because it's simply postponed. So they're still making progress, but not necessarily able to witness it.
What is the biggest vice or sin that hinders spiritual progress?
Well, the most important one is not making any effort to actually practice. Because if one is not doing what is required to attain a certain thing, how can one ever attain it? All other things are obstacles in the way. But as long as one is persisting with practice, then even those obstacles will be overcome. So not following the practice is the biggest obstacle, I would say.
What has the biggest influence over one's spiritual progress?
Influence, I guess they mean by gain. What is the most beneficial point? Well, the more they can surrender to their master's will, to the Lord's will, the easier it is for them to connect with that divinity, and for them to attain self-realization, then God-realization. Because the path is not about any ritual or ceremony. In fact, there's nothing you can do physically here, in the sense of any ritual or ceremony, including meditation, that will allow you to attain that true self and God realization, other than living in the Lord's will, other than surrendering yourself to your Holy Master and obeying them implicitly. By obeying the one who has saved you, shows gratitude. That gratitude is turned into blessing or grace, and that grace in turn is pulls you along towards spiritual progress. It's much easier to be pulled by someone else than it is for you to push your way up. So pushing is a very long, arduous journey that religions talk about and many other lower philosophies talk about, where they give all the responsibility to the practitioner, in the sense that they have to do all the work without any help or grace. But actually, in true spirituality, is the opposite. They merely have to make an effort. They don't have to excel in anything. They just have to make an effort, and the grace takes over to pull them the rest of the way.
Thank you. Babaji said in his satsang that we are evolving every day spiritually. How can we measure our spiritual maturity?
You see, this goes back to two points, which is one is the blueprint of creation, and the creation itself is evolving. Therefore, by default, everyone is evolving, everything is evolving, not just us, but everything in creation is evolving to its ultimate conclusion.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that point of view. But looking at it from an initiated perspective, a person who's been initiated by a perfect living master, then every day they are naturally evolving, whether they realize it or not. Because the truth is that you can do very little to aid your spiritual progress. All you can do is try to prevent yourself from hindering it. So if you can try to avoid things that slow it down, then the rate of improvement is dependent upon your ability to stand that. Because for some people, being pulled too rapidly into higher truth is very disturbing mm-hmm. for their mind.
Mm-hmm.
So the Lord pulls them at the rate that is comfortable for them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lord knows best for each one of us. And He knows exactly our condition and what we need. So if we let the Lord do the work, and we just try to avoid created obstacles and difficulties for the Lord's work, then that is a pretty good way of doing your spiritual progress.
Thank you. Right, the question's right at the end, but there's a statement in the beginning.
Okay.
I was thinking, because I am a spiritual practitioner from a religious background, I'm quite advanced than others, knowing a lot and having many, many inner experiences. But when I got initiation from Master, I feel that I know nothing and seeing nothing. Why do I feel this way?
You see, the mind is geared towards thinking that through logical reasoning and experience, it knows everything in creation. But a mind is just a tool. It's limited, it's programmed, and it's attached to the soul in order to function as a particular character. But the mind attribute is also the ego attribute. Therefore, the ego attribute wants to be the center of attention, wants to be the most knowledgeable, the cleverest, the most liked, and many other things, the higher status being. So, but it actually knows nothing. So when the soul is awakened, which is the fountain of wisdom and truth, the mind realizes first how little it actually knows in comparison to the wisdom of the entirety of truth. So that's why that spiritual practitioners have to cross this boundary of their lower mind and cross into higher mind, more wisdom mind. And in that process, realize that they've actually knew very little, and they're now embarking upon a journey of truth realization that involves them crossing their previous level of knowledge and admitting to themselves that they actually knew very little. And therefore now they must earnestly embark upon this journey to seek the higher truth.
Thank you. Right, the next four questions are around suffering. And actually, I'm going to say this question in one, but it's like two parts. During intense suffering, how much karma do we clear? Or does the severity of the situation determine how much karma we clear?
You see, suffering serves two purposes. And it depends on who is the one who's experiencing that suffering. From from a normal karmic individual who's not initiated by a perfect living master, not following a spiritual path, their suffering to them seems like just that, just suffering. And it is some sort of punishment or retribution for what has happened in the past, or even they feel something unfair is being imposed upon them because they do not understand the source of that suffering. So they take it to be a miserable experience. From an initiate's point of view, suffering is both payback of karma, because they understand that they have to repay whatever they have done in society, whatever they have done in creation, but they also understand that suffering is a means of keeping them on their spiritual journey, keeping them attentive to their spiritual journey. Because by distracting them from the world, making them turn away from the world, they turn towards spirituality. In fact, without suffering, no one would embark on the spiritual journey. If people were perfectly happy, they would go to the heavenly abodes and they would never ever want to inquire about anything else. So suffering is a blessing in disguise, not a curse. So only those people who are not initiated, who are not spiritual seekers or understanding of spirituality, for them suffering is just mere nightmare and it's mere punishment. But for spiritual practitioners, it's a blessing in disguise, even if they don't immediately realize it.
If we call upon Master during troubled times, is she or he there?
They're even there when you don't call upon them. It's just that you connect with them when you're in some suffering, as we mentioned before. Suffering is a great way of reminding you by force of your spiritual truth and of the Master who's initiated you. So Master uses suffering as a tool to simply remind you of the objective that you have in front of you, which is a spiritual truth and spiritual realization. Because sometimes we get so distracted with worldly life that we forget our objective. We forget why we were born human. We forget even why we were initiated. So in that sense, we get so absorbed in the world, we forget everything. So Master from time to time gives a little bit of suffering here or there, let's say, which is all laid down in the timeline of events, actually, kind of push us along a little bit, the journey, by allowing us then to remember the Master, say, please help me, Master, anything. And just by that, the Master has an excuse to give grace. Because the way the grace system works is, every time you remember the Lord or involve the Lord in your daily work, you get grace. So if you're not actually practicing that in this karmic realm, then the Lord has no ability to give grace. So what happens is, little suffering is given here, you then remember the Lord, and that gives the Lord an excuse to give you grace. Mm. It's a very interesting design.
Thank you. If I share my own inner experiences with others, can it downgrade my spiritual level?
Definitely so, in the sense that if you're sharing your experience with others, particularly those who do not understand what it is that you're even talking about, two things may happen. One, they may degrade your experience. So you start even believing yourself that it's a hallucination, or maybe you're not having a real experience, maybe you're going crazy or something else. And the second one is that if you get used to the habit of telling your experiences, the ego naturally hijacks this and takes it over, and it makes you feel more superior to the one who's not having the experience, which is a great risk. So that's why masters generally say don't share your experiences. But if one who is enlightened is before you, or a master, certainly you can share with them for clarification. But you also have to remember that every experience you have is unique to you, because every single soul is a unique viewpoint of the Lord. There's no two alike. So therefore, no two experiences will be exactly identical. So sometimes by sharing your experience with another, a person might think to themselves, my experience was different. I didn't have that experience. So maybe mine is wrong and this one is right. And they start following this, trying to attain this other person's level of experience and ignoring their own. So therefore they're missing out on a wonderful experience of the spiritual progress. So there are several disadvantages of speaking out about your spiritual experience to those who are not enlightened.
Right, this next one is more or less a statement, really. So you could just comment on it if that's okay. Although we know the world is a drama and we are all playing our part in it, it is still difficult to accept and ignore what's affecting our daily life. so we still end up struggling.
That's correct. if you're not a spiritual practitioner and you don't understand how to go beyond this level of acting and playing your part in creation, then you'll be a most miserable practitioner. If you actually put effort in your spiritual practice to try and rise above the effects, then yes, you're no longer affected by this drama.
So how do you rise above it?
Through meditation practice predominantly, initially, and then as much as you can contemplate upon the spiritual truth of life and upon your saving master with gratitude. So there are certain principles to live by. Gratitude is definitely one of the best ways to earn merit in the sense of spiritual grace that allows you then to make spiritual progress, to put more of an effort in. So merely using the faculty of remembrance also enables you to earn grace, because by remembering the master constantly, this is creating a link, a devotional link. We call it devotion. It's similar to meditation. In fact, it is as powerful as meditation if done correctly. Remembrance and contemplation upon spiritual truth and the saving master, your saving master, links you directly to them, connects you with them. And therefore, they have an excuse then to pull you towards them.
Would that still happen if you were talking to someone about spiritual matters and you mentioned the master's name? Would that still count?
If there's devotion behind it, yes.
Right.
Okay. If you're just simply having a blank discussion where there's no connection with it, you're just saying that there's, oh, this person I've heard about is a master, or something like that, it has no meaning for you.
Mm.
So it's the feeling that goes with it, the intensity of the earnestness of that connection that makes the difference.
Actually, I just thought about a question that someone did ask me a while back. If you talk about the master with someone and you mention their name, is that considered seva in any way?
Not really.
Okay.
Because if you're just mentioning randomly the master's name, then it won't be.
But it will be in context.
If, for example, you're giving a little chat, a little pep talk about spirituality, and you're introducing the master, it's not necessarily seva in the strict sense, but it certainly is very helpful for you, because it's again reminding you of the master, and it's also earning a certain amount of merit, and merit turns into grace.
Mm-hmm.
So in that sense, it's helpful to you. Yes.
Right, that's okay. Right, the next four questions, there's quite a few people that wanted to know whether what they're experiencing, is it spiritual progress?
Okay.
So you could just say yes or no, or you might want to elaborate on them. Right. First one is, if I noticed more miracles in my life and recognize that these are from Master helping me and guiding me, is that considered spiritual progress?
Well, recognition of the Master's hand behind it is spiritual progress. Having miracles in your life, not necessarily so, but because everything that we experience in life is preordained. In other words, the timeline of events that we're going through is already scripted out. However, our attitude is important.
Mm-hmm.
It's the attitude that makes a difference. So if our attitude is correct to what we are experiencing, then yes, there's definitely a benefit with that. There's definitely grace associated with that. There's definitely progress associated with that. So the progress there is really in recognizing the spirituality behind those coincidences or miracles and attributing that to your saving master in gratitude. That is where the progress lies.
Okay. I am so chilled out these days and don't get caught up in people's business, issues, gossip, etc. Is this a sign of spiritual progress?
Most definitely. Because for a spiritual practitioner, when they rise above the lower mind, the emotional mind and intellect mind, and they enter into a higher mind state, which is wisdom mind, to start with, and then if they're fortunate enough to become into the soul state of realization, then yes, for them, they understand that the world means nothing. But in the mind state, they don't know for sure, but they just have a feeling that doesn't mean anything to them, but they can't explain why. But a realized soul, a soul realized one, knows exactly why, because they see the whole thing from a higher perspective, that it's only a play, and they're taking part in the play as a character, and that the character is not real, therefore the play is not real, it's only a play.
I notice a lot of coincidences or little things just working out. Is that spiritual progress?
Generally, yes. For a practitioner, these things are definitely spiritual progress. But again, it's your understanding of what it is you're witnessing rather than what you're witnessing. Because every experience, remember, is creative, therefore it's illusion.
Mm-hmm.
But if these types of experiences create within you a feeling of spiritual connection and your understanding of it as a spiritual grace, then yes, it is definitely progress.
Right, the last one in this section. If we are in a very stressful situation, life-threatening, and we manage to keep a good balance, is this a good sign of spiritual progress?
Again, yes, because if the attitude is there to understand the reasoning behind this and to understand the grace behind it that's helping us, then grace can help us to overcome the most difficult situations that we face in life. And if we are focused upon our Holy Master, on the spiritual path during this crisis time, then in a way you could say this is a test. And if we pass the test, we earn grace. And grace means progress.
Thank you. Right, these next few are around meditation. Can you progress spiritually without doing daily meditation as instructed when one is initiated?
Progress for an initiate is regardless of what you do, actually. However, the method of approach that the masters use in the modern day is to give us something to do to occupy the mind. You see, the mind is the obstacle here. The mind needs to be given something to do. Otherwise, it will wreak havoc upon our spiritual progress. It will cause all kinds of problems for us and make it much more difficult for us to enjoy spiritual progress. Because as we traverse beyond the mind won't give itself up. It wants to survive, it wants to live. So it'll create every problem for us, every obstacle, every disturbing thought. So masters came up with the idea that if they give us some ritual to do, like meditation, spiritual practice, and other things, that this will occupy the mind to give it something to make it feel great, because the mind wants to be great. So whilst the mind is performing its ego tripping by being great and thinking it is something special, spiritual progress of the soul is happening regardless, because spiritual progress only happens by the pull of the Lord. There is no way that you, as a mind individual, can ever overcome your own mind and become self-realized. It's all by the grace of the Lord. The only thing you can do is keep the mind occupied.
So if you do savor, be a good person, and you do no meditation, can you progress spiritually?
You see, again, as I say, that meditation is not the only way. It's not the only way to truth realization. It is certainly a simpler way for modern day practitioners because of the way our lives are so busy that we need something to distract us from worldly phenomena. So therefore, meditation almost forces us to withdraw our attention from worldly affairs back to ourselves. However, that is its limit. It's limited in what it can do. But living the spiritual way of life, absolute devotion and reliance upon the Master, and even constant contemplation and remembrance of the Master, and most importantly, keeping your objective before you of spiritual enlightenment that colors everything you do. And if you have that spiritual objective in front of you, then everything you do is spiritual progress, even if you're just performing your worldly duties, because you're doing it in the Master's name. You're doing it to fulfill your role here in creation, keeping that going whilst you inwardly think and contemplate upon higher truths, and also remember the Master itself as a result, the one who's initiated you and the one who saved you. And it's this remembrance and gratitude and constantly dwelling upon that earns you grace. And as we know, grace earns progress. Mm-hmm. So there are means by which the Masters have given us, but each Master has their own preferred method. And it's always best to follow the method described by your Master, because even obedience to the Master, even if it makes no sense, it's also another way of earning grace, even if you don't get anywhere. So, you know, if the Master says meditate for the half hour, then do that. However, if you find it easier for you to contemplate on the Master 24/7 and on the spiritual path rather than the prescribed ritual, then do that, because that's even better. But for those who struggle with that, then force yourself to do the 2.5 hours. At least for that point, you're trying to train yourself to remember the Master and the spiritual path.
Thank you. Why do Masters always answer, just meditate, when you ask them a question which may be on the worldly side?
You see, most people don't really want to hear the truth. And the truth may hurt their feelings. So Masters will always say, well, find this out for yourself. You just meditate, all will be resolved. Because all the questions that they ask are of no consequence to the soul. They're all related to the mind. They are an actor on the stage. And if the actor has any questions about the acting, how does that relate to his real life back home? It has no relation to it. So if we're seeking reality and we're seeking the truth, so therefore Masters will say to us, okay, well, you're asking a question about the character you're playing that has no relevance to your spiritual progress. And if I was to even tell you the truth about it, you will not be happy with that. So therefore I should say, just meditate and find out for yourself. Mm. So it's just one of the tactics Masters use when they don't want to answer the question.
Thank you. Do we still need to carry on sitting for meditation while our mind is not focusing at all? I feel like I am forcing it, and eventually I feel like I'm not meditating, so I get frustrated. Yet I want to sit and meditate and enjoy it, but it doesn't work. I need help to improve my meditation.
You see, again, meditation is one means of attaining that remembrance of the Lord. If it's easier for you to simply remember the Lord and to remember your Holy Master and to dwell on them day and night, that is far superior to spending 2.5 hours meditating. However, if you find it difficult and you need a prescribed time to remember the Lord because you haven't attained that state of remembrance or contemplation yet, then certainly do the meditation. Because if you're doing the meditation because your Master has instructed you to do, you earn grace just for obedience. Whether you gain anything or not, don't look upon meditation as something that you have to gain something with, because that's just the ego. The ego is saying, if I'm sitting and I have to see this, I have to have that, otherwise I'm not having good meditation. Who are you to decide that? You're just a character in the play. You're just being told to do something. It is not for you to decide when you get that vision or what progress you make during that method. You just be obedient, earn grace, and understand that it's purely the grace of the Lord that pulls you home. You cannot meditate your way back home. That's a fact.
Have you got any tips for people who are meditating?
Yes, meditate until contemplation comes to you naturally. Follow the Master's instructions to meditate, practice as much as possible until it becomes second nature. When it becomes your nature, then you don't need to formally sit in meditation, because you're in contemplation all the time, when you're at work, when you're eating, even when you're talking, whatever you may be doing, the contemplation of the truth and of the journey that you're embarking upon and of your enough gratitude towards your master is constantly there. And that is far superior to forced meditation. But meditation is valuable in the beginning, because not everybody has that level of contemplation where they involve the master in everything they do in everyday life with gratitude, and they feel his presence everywhere. Remember, because the whole process of spirituality is to first merge with the master, is to first become one with him. That your beloved, you become the beloved. You lose yourself in love with the beloved. And that love takes you to the Lord. But because we do not know the Lord, we do not see the Lord in anything. Therefore, we need something that represents the Lord in creation to fall in love with. So the masters are there to allow us to fall in love. And that love takes us to the divine.
Thank you. We know our main aim is to meditate, yet sometimes the same circle of personal life issues stress you out and you try to accept it and work it out, yet there are no changes. So do we still need to carry on accepting this as our previous life karma?
You see, everything you experience in life is karma. Everything you experience with the mind and the body is karma. It cannot be anything else. However, there is a psyche, a faculty in you called a soul, and the soul is able to exit the karmic condition and rise above it. So by empowering the mind first to go along with the soul as a friend, then you can rise above all these things. So spiritual practice is a great way to keep the mind involved in something positive whilst the real progress is going on. And that is the elevation of the soul, gently, gently up towards its true abode.
Thank you. Right, the last five questions now are all to do with the self or the mind. How can I separate myself from my character?
The first thing is keep the objective in front of you. If the objective of spiritual truth realization and connection with the Lord and the Divine is always in front of you, then automatically you will not recognize the character anymore, because now you become a lover of the truth. You become obsessed with the truth that overtakes any thought of your character. Your character is still going on, fulfilling its part in the play, but your attention is not there. Your feeling is not there. You don't have the same feeling for the character. So the first thing is to try and keep that objective in mind. And to do that, you need constant reminding. So constantly listen to satsangs, follow the teachings of the masters, keep the good company, the company of the enlightened, the noble ones, and so on. By doing all these things, and by doing repetition of the simran that's been given to you, again, is another form of reminder. All these things go a long way to help you to become focused upon your true objective in life. And then it becomes easy for you to rise above the character, because you no longer see yourself as the character anymore, because you're so obsessed with your destination that you don't even notice the journey you're undergoing.
Is it possible to improve your attitude even on a daily basis?
Yes, by again, by constantly reminding yourself. I think I'm sounding like the masters here now, where they constantly have a one answer. Because this one point of keeping your objective in mind and focusing your attention and all your efforts on that objective naturally leads everything else. It takes care of all other details. Jesus once said, he said, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, then all things else shall be given unto thee freely." So if you pursue the spiritual path with earnestness and devotion, then naturally the Lord will take care of all the other details of your life. All the mundane things will just happen to go by. You won't even notice them.
Thank you. Is it true that desire for worldly pleasures can prevent humility in the mind when performing bhajan?
Desire for worldly pleasures prevents you?
Can prevent humility in the mind when performing bhajan.
I don't really understand the question, because it doesn't make logical sense. But certainly worldly desires will prevent you from making spiritual progress. This is why, again, it's important to keep the objective in mind. If everything you do in the world is geared towards your objective of spiritual progress, self-realization, God-realization, then automatically that will regulate what your activities you do. And even if the activities are not wholly spiritual, you still are giving them as a gift, as an offering to the master. You're saying, I'm playing my part well, maybe even a villain. But you offer your villainy to the Lord even. Somebody has to play the villain, somebody has to play the saint. From the Lord's point of view, there's no difference. But whatever you do, if you offer it to the Lord, say, in your name, this is what you have provided me. I'm doing this in the Lord's name. Then the Lord clears and sorts everything out, makes your path straight. There is no problem there. But of course, it's much more difficult in the worldly sense to be a villain and to be saved, because generally it creates a lot of obstructions from other people trying to harm you or trying to put you in jail or other things. So that could be considered an obstruction to your spiritual progress. So it's very difficult. So masters always say, try to live a good moral life and try to be a noble human being, because it's a lot easier. But of course, the character you're playing is not your true self. So your objective is always to connect with who you really are. Know yourself. Unless you know yourself, you do not know where you come from or where you're going. So life has no purpose other than mundane day-to-day living like the animals if you do not seek to know who you really are and where you come from.
This world feels so real. How can we reinforce to ourselves that it's only a play?
Again, by constant reminding, remembrance, keeping the objective in mind, listening to discourses, satsang. By association, we naturally become that which we associate with. You know, Babaji often says, for example, that if you associate long enough with drinkers and drunks, you'll become a drunk. Mm-hmm. We are affected by the company we keep, by the associations we have. So if we associate ourselves with high spirituality, then we naturally start bringing that into our life. It becomes more and more prevalent in life, and soon everything else fades away.
Thank you. Right, this is the last question now. What inner qualities should we look at to judge the purity of our mind?
We shouldn't be a judge to start with. Judgment is for the negative power and for karmic. And we're trying to rise above the concept of judgment and enter the realm of compassion and mercy. So if we learn the habit of judgment, we can never leave the realm of mind and Maya, because they're based upon judgment. And judgment automatically says, this is good, that is bad, he is good, he is bad. And once you get down that road, even if it's to yourself, you're heading for disaster. So no judgment. But you can certainly change your attitude by recognizing a behavior that may not be beneficial to your spiritual progress. So if you can change your circumstances, change the cause of that behavior, do as best as you can, then your attitude becomes more and more spiritually orientated and more focused towards a spiritual goal. So definitely that is the way to look forward to it, rather than judging yourself and analyzing yourself. Because if you judge yourself, you'll always curse yourself, put yourself down. And the ego will say, why should I bother? I'm worthless, I'm useless, I'm never going to attain it. And that's a very, very powerful obstacle to overcome if you start going down that route. This is based upon worldliness and the negative power and religions who keep you tied down to this realm.
Thank you. Right, those are all the questions.